The processional hymn 547. Approach, my soul, the mercy seat where Jesus answers prayer. Welcome, everybody, to this celebration of the Holy Communion on this third Sunday in Lent. The order of service begins on page 201. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. The Lord our God belong mercy and forgiveness, for we have rebelled against him and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord our God by following his laws which he has set before us. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. We follow the full form of the Ten Commandments on page 222. Page 222. Hear these commandments which God has given to his people and take them to heart. I am the Lord your God. You shall have no other gods but me. You shall not make for yourself any idol. You shall not dishonor the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Lord's day and keep it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not commit murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not be a false witness. You shall not covet anything which belongs to your neighbor. And the Lenten Penitential Kyries on page 227. Page 227. In the wilderness, we find your grace. You love us with an everlasting love. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
There is none but you to uphold our cause. Our sin cries out, and our guilt is great. Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Heal us, O Lord, and we shall be healed. Restore us, and we shall know your joy. Lord, have mercy.
Lord,
and the collects of the second Sunday in Lent. Almighty God, you show to those who are in error the light of your truth, that they may return to the way of righteousness. Grant to all those who are admitted into the fellowship of Christ's religion that they may reject those things that are contrary to their profession and follow all such things as are agreeable to the same. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Almighty and everlasting God, you hate nothing that you have made, and forgive the sins of all those who are penitent. Create and make in us new and contrite hearts, that we, worthily lamenting our sins and acknowledging our wretchedness, may receive from you, the God of all mercy, perfect remission and forgiveness, through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. The Old Testament reading is from the book Genesis, chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and show your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from St. Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. "What then are we to say was gained by Abraham, our ancestor, according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now to one who works, wages are not reckoned as a gift, but as something due. But to one without works, trust him who justifies the ungodly. Such faith is reckoned as righteousness. For the promise that he would inherit the world did not come to Abraham or to his descendants through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. If it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, neither there is violation. For this reason it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham. For he is the father of all of us, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. In the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Hear the Gospel of our Saviour Christ according to St. John, chapter 3, beginning at verse 1.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can you enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of each one of our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. In 2015, two psychologists reviewed six studies on gift giving, looking in particular at the types of gifts chosen. They divided the gifts into two categories: those based on the interests of the recipient versus those that reflect the giver's personality or interest. It is probably not any surprise that all parties prefer giving and receiving recipient-centered gifts. The gift is supposed to be about the recipient. However, the study found both the giver and receiver reported higher feelings of closeness with the gift reflected, when the gift reflected the giver. When one stops to think a bit more about this, what initially seems counterintuitive starts to make sense. Some of the most beautiful gifts involve giving part of oneself, creating a curated playlist of favorite songs, or in decades past, burning a CD or making a mixtape, or collating a book of one's favorite poems reflect the giver's preferences. But the thought, time, and love that go into the process foster closeness. And today, the readings we have heard offer a look at the gifts that God gives and an exploration of how they might pull us ever closer to God's presence. Lent, that liturgical space carved out for penitence and fasting, is also an an opportunity to reflect on the gifts that God has given us. These 40 holy days are indeed about self-sacrifice and self-denial, but they are also a time to look to foster closeness with the divine. In the passage from the Hebrew Bible, God calls Abram out of his homeland with the promise of future blessings for him and the whole world. The great patriarch immediately follows God's call. Then, in the reading from the Epistle to the Romans, Paul takes this story up to make sense of the relationship between Israel, the law, Gentiles, and salvation. In a sometimes meandering but sustained argument, Paul's theologizing is complex, and much ink has been spilled over the centuries over exactly what he meant. But the complexity should not prevent us from diving in and listening to God's word from Paul's letters. Abraham, Paul says, is not justified by his own works of obedience or righteousness. No, it is God who justifies the ungodly, and God alone has the power to give life and justify Abraham. While Abraham might have thought that his blessing was for his descendants to become a great nation, God had even bigger plans and a bigger gift to bestow. For through Abraham, not only are his descendants blessed and a blessing, but God calls even those outsiders, the Gentiles, to be part of God's people. And a New Testament scholar, Beverly Gaventa, notes in Paul's telling, the Abram story is about what God does, not what Abraham does. God's gift is bigger than Abraham could imagine. The story of Abraham can be read to be about obedience and about following God. But in this passage, the hero of the narrative is the God who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. And that is the truth pointed to in the gospel reading for today. Mysteriously and unexpectedly, the God of the universe has given from God's own self in the person of Jesus Christ the ultimate gift to the world. How many of us have John chapter 3, verse 16, etched in our brains, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that he who believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The verse captures the beauty of the heart of the gospel with simplicity and depth. But the words can become perhaps almost too familiar. A famous multimedia artist based one of his video pieces off a VHS tape that he rented where the end of the movie had been played over and over to the extent that the physical tape had been damaged with images skipped, blurred, or even erased. The same might be said of John 3:16. So many preachers rush to fast forward or rewind to this verse that the frames around it and within it can become obscured. And even within the verse, many evangelists fast forward to the last bit of the verse, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, putting the primary push, as it were, of the verse onto what humans need to do. And that's one way to read the passage, but there's more to the passage than the human response. Nicodemus, a prominent Pharisee, has come to Jesus at night to learn from this newcomer to the scene. After some confusion about being born again, Jesus plays with the word pneuma, which can mean spirit or wind. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Some things are beyond comprehension and beyond human conception. Just like the wind, God goes where God will. It is in this context that Jesus then goes on to speak of Moses lifting up the snake in the wilderness and then hits us with verse 16, "For God so loved." The action starts with God. God gives what God will give, and God gives of God's own self. God gives love, and God gives life. These passages teach us that we're called into a story that's bigger than we can imagine. The story is full of mystery and complexity, but ultimately it is a story about and by God. And at the beginning, at the end, and at the heart of that story is love. It's this love that saves us, propels us through hard times, and may even call us into uncomfortable and difficult situations. But throughout it all, God is there with us. For God so loved the world that God gave of God's self to be with us and give us life, no matter what. Lent is a time to realize that God's gifts are better than any we could ever imagine. And they pull us ever closer into God's loving embrace. Let us dwell in that love that we have received from God, that mysterious, saving, and disruptive love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
God, true God, beyond all.
Father, Lord of all creation, we praise you for your goodness and your love. When we turned away, you did not reject us. You came to meet us in your Son, welcomed us as your children, and prepared a table where we might feast with you. In Christ, you shared our life that we might live in him and he in us. Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, on the night before you died, you came to table with your friends. Taking bread, you gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me."
Lord Jesus, we bless you.
At the end of supper, you took the cup of wine, gave thanks, and said, "Drink this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me."
Lord Jesus, we bless you.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, giver of life, come upon us now. May this bread and wine be to us the body and blood of our Savior Jesus Christ. As we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us who know our need of grace, one in Christ, our risen Lord. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, blessed Trinity, with your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of thanks and praise, and lift our voice to join the song of heaven, forever praising you and singing. Thanks be to you, our God, for your gift beyond words.
Amen. Amen.
The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. Draw near with faith, receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood which he shed for you. Remember that he died for you, and feed on him in your heart by faith with thanksgiving. Creator of heaven and earth, we thank you for these holy mysteries given us by our Lord Jesus Christ, by which we receive your grace and are assured of your love, which is through him, now and forever. Amen. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Christ, the Son of Righteousness, shine upon you, gladden your hearts, and scatter the darkness from before you. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be with you and remain with you always. Items for the food bank may be left in church today or next Sunday. On Wednesday and Saturday evenings, the bowling club meets in the hall at 8 o'clock. Sunday next, the third Sunday in Lent, morning prayer at 10 o'clock. And there will be Sunday school next Sunday. The next family service will take place in 2 weeks' time, on Sunday, the 19th of March, Mothering Sunday. And the annual Easter General Vestry meeting will be held this year on Tuesday, the 21st of March, at 8 o'clock in the parochial hall. The recessional hymn, Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah, number 647.
in peace to love and serve the Lord.
Amen.